Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin. It's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage. River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, so it was the game-winning touchdown that was a false start. Mm-hmm. And now this is multiple times. Didn't the referee get?
You're talking about the Jacksonville game.
The Jacksonville game.
By the way, there's more than one game where this was an issue this week.
Bosa, the reason that Bosa threw his helmet down.
Two reasons. False start and holding.
He had both on that play.
Both of them were legitimate beefs.
Yeah, but and he threw his helmet down. Got the penalty, so they were at the 1 yard line, and Trevor decide to go for two instead because they're on the 1 yard line. Trevor Lawrence
that
reaches
the
ball
winner,
over.
Though that was because remember they went for two, which got them within a field goal.
Got them within two. That's right. That wasn't the
but
game.
But they
winner.
Never would have. They would have just kicked.
But that
the
was the
extra
last
point.
Touchdown they scored.
Yeah, they would have just kicked the extra.
Yeah,
point.
They would have kicked the extra point and then kicked the field goal to tie, and they would have been tied as opposed to winning the game. But there was a referee last year, right, that missed a false start that was suspended.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that this referee, this wasn't the female referee. No. The Bengals game had the female referee on the line judge. This one is, this wasn't a female referee. But this is, that's a suspendable offense because we've seen the NFL suspend a line judge for missing an obvious false start before.
There was another one in the Giants game on a touchdown. Where the Giants yesterday, they had a false start, and Daniel Jones threw a touchdown pass, and it was an obvious false start, and they missed it. Again, the NFL had to come out and say, yeah, there were several missed plays in the Rams versus the Seahawks game in the last week of the season that went against the Rams and in the Seahawks' favor. Several misses. Why is that important? Because the Lions would have been in the playoffs. Not the Seahawks. If the Seahawks had lost, the Lions would have been in the playoffs after beating Green Bay. So it had an impact potentially on who was in the in the playoffs. And this is one that I think the league very quietly, without any fanfare, nothing's going to be talked about. This is one where there's so many of these that they have to investigate if there's something shady going on.
I think
that many misses for one team.
I think there's a high level of incompetence.
That's true, but when there's they said it was the worst officiated game of the whole year, and it had an impact on who got into the playoffs. And I just think I'm not accusing anyone of anything, but after watching the Tim Donaghy documentary, I just think you're better safe than sorry. You need to make sure that everything is above board to make sure, because I'm always a very naive person when it comes to this. I just think there's no way that any of this could be happening or whatever. I think you do your due diligence to make sure everything and everyone was on the level. You go look at every missed call, who missed it. I'm assuming they're great NFL officials too. Was there a guy? Because if you had like as many as seven missed calls, I think they said, there needs to be action taken. You can't. It may have cost a team a chance to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Hot team, by the way,
and that's huge too. They did catch the Giants with two men in motion, Bellinger.
Yeah,
it was in motion while another guy was in motion. The Giants scored the touchdown, and they took it away and gave him a 5 yard penalty. And the Giants didn't score the touchdown; they had to kick a field goal. Did you see Daboll? Daboll went ballistic. On the sideline. I don't know who he's yelling at.
Man, how do you? I'm just showing you. How do you miss this? Watch this. How do you miss this on Andrew Thomas? It seems impossible.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he's way quicker.
It seems impossible that anyone could miss that and not blow the penalty.
Yeah.
That seems impossible.
Well, that judge on that side needs to be accountable.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really bad. It's really, really bad.
No. 713-780-3776. You've got any thoughts on the weekend of football? You're more than welcome to get in here. You want to talk about your Rockets? You're more than welcome to do that. I don't know why you want to do that right now. I don't. How about a 30-10 fourth quarter? A 30-10, a close game. Listen, the game was that Brado made this point. The game is tied at 80. You sit Alperen Şengün for a matter of minutes, and they're up 9 as soon as you sit Şengün. It is unbelievable how little faith they have in this guy. Now, he played 30 minutes. Deshaun Nix played 36 minutes last night.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was no KPJ, but yeah, 36 minutes for Deshaun Nix is almost an automatic loss.
36 minutes. Listen to the stat line. 0-for-2 from 3, 0-for-2 from the field, 1-for-2 for the 3 free throw line, 1 defensive rebound, 2 assists, 4 turnovers. It's like
it's almost impossible to have a
stat line. It is the worst. Brado said, I don't know if it's true. He said it's one of, if not the worst stat line for a starting guard in the NBA. I don't know if it's this year or it's like as bad a stat line as you will ever see.
He went
for a 36 minute player.
36 minutes and he went a 1-to-2 turnover to assist ratio. He had one and only two assists, by the way, to 4 turnovers. He had 1 rebound, didn't score at all, right?
At 1 point.
Oh, he did have one, he made one free throw. Yeah. That's about as bad as you can be.
No, and it's as bad a stat line as you'll see.
36 minutes. But Deshaun Nix on an NBA team just tells you all you need to know. He's on the worst NBA team.
He is. He shouldn't be. Yes, he's on. Listen, I've always said, if you're like last year, if you were a Texans cornerback, you're one step out of the league. You got 1 foot out
if
of the
you're
league.
A bad team on the, if you're a bad player on the worst team, then you're, I mean, you're so replaceable. But think about this, John. I'm starting to realize this. This is almost, it's almost unbelievable that Steven Silas still has a job with how bad they have played and how it's showing no signs of getting any better. I'm at the point now where I wonder if Tillman and the organization says, you know what, let's just play it out and give us the best chance to get Victor Wembanyama. I mean, he's got a chance to be a franchise-changing talent. Let's just, whatever he's doing is, you know, why even win at this point? I wonder if they're thinking that now. Because every game is a double-digit loss now. Every game is a bad fourth quarter. Most every game, probably 3 out of every 4 games.
30-10?
Is a bad fourth quarter.
30-10?
Yeah. I mean, this is a common theme. Horrific for you. You hang in for 3 quarters. Every once in a while you get blown out, but you hang in for 3 quarters and the fourth quarter is a disaster. This is happening every other game. This is happening at least, and sometimes more than that.
How many double digit losing streaks have they had under Steven Silas?
In 3 years or 2.5 years, I would say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
4.
Okay.
They lost 20 in a row.
I mean, double digits a lot.
20 in a row. They lost 20 in a row in 20-21. 15 in a row, 21-22. 12 in a row.
20 in a row is a quarter of the season.
10 right now. 10 right now.
That it?
That's it. It seems like more.
Well, but what were they before this?
What do you
before
mean?
The 10, what was the losing streak? Because they had they
oh, no, they won one game.
They've won like.
Yeah, they won one game and then they went on this. They had a losing streak,
won a game, losing streak.
Right, it was.
This one shows no signs of abating.
They had lost 5 in a row, then they won a game. Now they've lost 10 in a row, so they've lost 15 of their last 16.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's not ideal.
It's nice. It's real nice.
Well, do you think there's any chance that Tillman's just like, you know what? Let's just keep doing this. You guys tell me this guy, this Victor guy, is so good. Let's just do what we're doing. Let's just do what we're doing. We don't need a tank. We'll just keep having the players not play hard for Steven Silas.
He's the Deshaun Nix in 35 minutes today. He's the first point guard in NBA history to court only 1 point, two or less assists and four turnovers with at least 35 minutes played.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, like, he just, I did as much for the team. I mean, honestly, he just stood there.
Well, the Rockets are making history, and I don't want anyone to say they're not. Because that right there is history, ladies and gentlemen. That is a part of history that may never be erased. Deshaun Nix, the YMCA point guard.
Hey, did you see his inbound pass? Like, one of the worst inbound pass. Inbounded it to nobody. He inbounded it to right to the Clippers. He threw one off the rim, and he passed one to the ref.
Those are his turnovers.
He's like, oh, it was awful.
Deshaun Nix.
Why is he playing 35 minutes?
He doesn't pass the eyeball test, and he doesn't. Just when he comes out of the locker room, he's like, that guy doesn't play for an NBA team. Oh, yes, he does. And then when you see him play, you say, that guy doesn't play for an NBA team. And you go, I'm starting to question if he does play for an NBA team.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, these are surefire signs of tanking without having to tank. Deshaun Nix playing 36 minutes.
I got to spend a little bit of time with Tillman. I'm telling you, he's pissed.
The league's got to investigate.
He does not want to lose.
Investigate when Deshaun Nix plays 36 minutes that badly.
Yeah,
the league has to investigate.
I don't get Steven Silas. I don't know how he's still the coach. I just don't get it. You know what? They're showing amazing restraint. Amazing restraint. 813 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here with us on the show. Right now, though, you're talking, my friend, about your patio.
Yeah, Texas Custom Patios. Steven Shaw, I've got a meeting with a marketing group. They're going to be filming all the kitchen stuff that we're doing from start to finish, so you'll be able to see what it looks like. They've done some of that in the past, usually in pictures. I don't know if it's video, at TexasCustomPatios.com. So one of the great things when I tell you to look at before and after is you can see what the backyard looks like before and after, so you can see what's possible. But also, they will take you through the process of what it's like, and I think that's an important part of it, because you have to understand there's a meeting, there is the rendering that they have, and it's unbelievable how the lifelike renderings that they produce. So you see exactly what your outdoor kitchen or your outdoor living space, your swimming pool, whatever you're having them do, you'll get to see all of it. And then how it's framed out. He tells you everything. One of the things I loved is that Steven was great for my wife, because my wife has very specific things she wants, and he's a very specific person as well. And so he said, look, we're going to get framed out very quickly, and it is going to look like it's really moving fast, but then it slows down because the details are so fine-tuned, and that's what makes them special. TexasCustomPatios.com. Check out their before and after, and this is your chance to save, to really change your life in the way you enjoy it. TexasCustomPatios.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
We've touched on this before, but I don't know that we ever came to a conclusion. Tytus Howard, they're working on his $13.2 million fifth-year option right now. And Tytus loves him some Tytus, and I can understand that. I mean, you got to feel good about yourself especially if you're an NFL. Tytus might feel a little bit better about himself than we do. So will the Texans negotiate with Pro Bowl left tackle Laremy Tunsil, who wants a new deal, and Howard in the same offseason? So you want to negotiate Tunsil's deal because he's got a year left, right? So you want to get that done. You want to give him an extension if you want him here long term. The highest paid right tackles.
Unless you want to move him. And then in either case, you need to know what right. The deal is.
The highest paid tackles in all of football. Ryan Marantrick, $19.2 million a year. Brian O'Neill, $18.5 million a year. Lane Johnson, $18 a year. Braden Smith, $17.5 million. Taylor Moton, $17 million. Tunsil is due 13.2 in this fifth year here. Do you want to sign him to a long-term deal? Here's Titus's quote. You got to keep us together. You got to. We're the best tandem in the league. It's not even a debate. Is it debatable that Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil are the best tackle tandem in the NFL?
I have to think about it, but yeah, it's debatable.
It's not debatable. Titus Howard said it's not debatable, so you're debating, and you shouldn't be.
Decker and Penei Sewell over with Detroit Lions would be just one, just right off the top of my head. I would say anybody that has, anybody the Bengals play, their left tackles, whoever their left and right tackles.
Well, no, they're not, terrible. Not really. It's the other way around, right, isn't now. It? Yeah, that's awful.
I would say...
It's the other way around, I think.
I would say, I got to think about it. Jacksonville's okay. I got to think about it, but I'm sorry, Titus, you're kind of riding on Laremy's coattails a little bit here on this one.
Well, Laremy didn't even make first or second team, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make first or second team All-Pro.
No, so here's the deal. If you moved Laremy Tunsil, you get a first for him. No question asked. He's a left tackle. It's a bad left tackle draft. You get a first rounder for Laremy Tunsil if you moved him this year. Even with only 1 year left on a deal and you have to redo the deal, you get a first for Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah.
The problem is, who's your left tackle? Because I just told you it's not a very good left tackle draft. So you'd be stuck without a tackle for whoever you have. At quarterback?
For Davis Mills.
For Davey?
Now the thought is, if Stroud doesn't come, that there's a chance that you're Will Anderson, and then you're going to go with another year of Davis Mills.
Mm-hmm. Or Davis Mills, and, I mean, there still is a possibility that maybe the 49ers would want to deal Trey Lance if they believe they're all in on Brock Purdy.
Earlier. What Trey Lance, what are you giving up right now for Trey Lance?
Well, everyone says, oh, bag of chips, you can't get it. Trey Lance has only missed a year because he was hurt. The other one was a COVID year who had nothing to do with it. Then he sat down for a year to try to learn, he got in on some packages, but he didn't play a whole lot. Now, he's only played 1 year over the last 4 years. That's a big concern. You're not getting any better. If you're not playing football, you don't get better. And so I still think there's a chance.
And then you could say, well, Aaron Rodgers.
I still think there's a chance you could get a first. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers
played 3 years of college. Well, he played at Cal 3 years after he played at junior college. So he's still – Aaron Rodgers played at least 2 years at Cal. But I'd hate to just run around using one of the best quarterbacks of all time as like your standard, like, oh.
Trey Lance, same as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, same thing.
Right.
Everyone's going to do that.
For years, if you were a 6 foot quarterback, it was Drew Brees.
Yeah, Drew Brees.
Drew Brees.
And then Tom Brady.
Was a sixth rounder.
If you're a 6 round quarterback. And that's why people now talk with Brock Purdy. He's next Tom Brady. I'm watching some of the throws. Man, he is. Brock Purdy may be living on borrowed time a little bit. Some of the throws, but he's in a great offense. It's going to give him a great opportunity. But I just think that I don't know for Trey Lance. I don't know what he would go for. My guess is he could go for a late first. That's my guess, is that somebody would be willing to, if you had a good evaluation on him when he was coming out, because I don't think you can, and maybe the 49ers are going to give him every chance to beat out Brock Purdy next year. It's probably the smart move. It's probably a smart move to say, let's see what Lance looks like, this year in the offense full time, and let's see what Purdy looks like, and the best, whoever the guy is who wins it, Maybe we'll just have a Jordan Love on our hands. We'll have 3 straight years of him not playing very much. A lot of Texans fans want the Texans to go out and look at Jordan Love. Here's the question for the Green Bay Packers. They've seen a lot of Jordan Love. Do they like him? If so, they're going to have a tough decision on their hands. How much are they going to pay him, and what's Jordan Love's leverage when Aaron Rodgers is done? Because Jordan Love might be waiting to be their next quarterback right now, so he may not even be an option. Would the Texans – say, God, let's see about doing a 2-year deal with Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's just do that deal. We got to give our fans some hope. We got these brand new Oiler colors out. You've seen them. Have you seen the color schemes?
Yeah,
I've seen them. I saw a hat. The owner's wife got a hat. She's in Little League with some friends of ours, and they got a hat. So he was wearing the new
Houston. The H with the
It's a cool little different.
It's a neat logo. I like it.
So everyone's good with the Oilers colors. They're going to basically be Oilers colors.
Well, yeah, but it's got to be a little bit different. It can't be Columbia blue. I don't think. I think that's what it looks like. I know.
I think guys at 6'10" already got to see the jerseys.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. I've seen T-shirts. Yep. I've seen some T-shirts.
Yep, I got one at home.
I haven't seen a shirt.
Yeah.
How'd you get a T-shirt already?
I got a T-shirt. They a while ago they gave us T-shirts. They sent them over here, but a white one, not a blue one.
Who's us?
Well, maybe you didn't get yours or something. Maybe you were out coughing or something. I don't know what you were doing, but I got
here. Might have been when I was in.
It was an H, and it's got a little Texans logo on the bottom of the shirt. But it was that H. I like that.
I wouldn't have worn it anyway, so it don't matter.
Well, you can't even tell it's the Houston Texans. You can't even tell.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. No, it just has an H on it. It's really cool.
That's cool. Anything that you can do to minimize the fact that it's a Texans shirt,
right?
That's pretty cool. Like, hey, I could wear this.
Right. No, I wouldn't wear it. Do you ever see anyone with Texans logos?
I do sometimes, and I know they're hardcore. Like, they're real fans.
They're real fans. Yeah.
They're not like the rest of us who, like, I'm not being a fan until they're good again.
I don't know how many Astros. I don't know. I've got Astros and Roughneck gear. I just got enough.
How do you not fire it off? He just said the R word.
Okay.
Roughnecks.
I got so much Astros and Roughnecks. I don't have room for anything else. Sorry, Rockets. Sorry, Texans. Joe Daddy's here. Hey, Joe Daddy.
Morning, fellas. I heard you guys talking about Dana White earlier. Is that right?
What about what?
Dana White?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you guys hear his comments the other day? He showed up at the pre-fight press conference unannounced, and he kind of answered a few questions. And somebody asked him, you know, what should your punishment be for slapping your wife? You know, and this guy, this clown, says, my punishment is I have to live with this for the rest of my life. That is insane, man. If I run over a kid right now, you know, what is my punishment? Oh,
hey,
that's a new law that Dana White created.
Joe Daddy, sit tight right now. We're going to play right here. Here's
stay
Dana
on,
White.
Stay on the line, Joe Daddy.
Yeah, well, I mean, what should the repercussions be? You tell me. I take 30 days off. How does that hurt me? I mean, I told you guys when we were going through COVID could last 10 years. I could sit it out and, you know what I mean? What would be the problem? The only It's much like COVID, actually. You know, me leaving hurts the company, hurts my employees, hurts the fighters. Doesn't hurt me. I could have left in 2016. You know what I mean? I don't know. What's the do I need to reflect? No, I don't need to reflect. The next morning when I woke up, you know what I mean? I've been against this. I've owned this. I'm telling you that I'm wrong. And, but listen, I mean, we've had plenty of discussions internally with Ari, ESPN, nobody's happy. Nobody's happy about this, you know, neither am I. But it happened and I have to deal with it. And what is my punishment? Here's my punishment. I got to walk around for however long I live. Is it 10.4 years or is it another 25 years? This is how I'm labeled now. My other punishment is that, you know, I'm sure a lot of people, whether it be media, fighters, friends, acquaintances who had respect for me might not have respect for me now.
Well, that's a hell of a punishment.
But here's, oh boy.
How's he going to get liver?
When am I going to take off 30 days? How about take a year? How about you suspend yourself for a year and you're out of the public, you're not the face of the UFC for that year. You're out of the picture completely. How about a year? Seems reasonable to me. But now he's like, how is that going to hurt me? Because you're not in the mix anymore.
Yeah.
You're not in the mix. And I just think even if he's out of the public domain, that's – here's the thing. This and I've always said this, and now something actually happened to Dana. Dana White is one of the only people in sports – I've been saying this for years – who is untouchable. Untouchable. Because he is – because they have a monopoly – and because he is a monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And this just proves the entire thing. And because there is nothing, I mean, Dana just told you. And here's the other thing. But if you question him hard or if you treat him with any disrespect for what he did, you're done. Dana is not that dude. He's sitting there on a dais or in a press conference acting like, no, you know what? I mean, you media guys, hey, I deserve it. I deserve it. He said, and he's being forthright and contrite. I get that. He's being forthright and contrite.
But what I'm forthright and contrite to you?
Well, no, I've heard the other thing too, where he goes, I did it. I deserve every bit of scorn. I'm the one who says I'm against this, and yet I did it. And he goes on and on like that. But here's the thing. If a media member shows any disrespect to him for what he did, they're done. He will take their media because he is very thin-skinned when it comes to that stuff. He has all the power. He rules with an iron fist. He made fun of our guy Jeremy Botter for breaking the news that he was going to sell, the Fertittas were going to sell the UFC. And he called him a clown, a weirdo. He went after him personally. And Jeremy was right. His information was all right. And Dana tried to intentionally embarrass him. Super lost a lot of respect for him when he did that. If you're a media member who shows disdain for Dana White, I guarantee you there will be repercussions.
Yep.
So that's why all this stuff to me, because Dana rules with an iron fist and you will have repercussions. So don't tell me that, you know, you're okay with the fact that that's one of your punishments and you're just going to take it, because you won't take that. You're not going to take anyone that you don't feel shows you the proper amount of respect. You say you may have lost respect for me. Well, you better not show it. Better not show it, or you will have your press passes revoked. No. That's the truth. And so I don't know what his punishment is. Joe Daddy, we'll bring you back in real quick. But, you know, would you have been okay if he had suspended himself for a year where he's not in the picture at all?
You know, that's fine. You know, take yourself out to position. If nobody's going to punish you, take yourself out. And you know what? Down the road, a year down the road, yeah, maybe he come back, maybe not. But, like, for him to not suffer any consequences, that's just not right. Any fighter on his roster would be gone, and they have been gone, left and right. I mean, it's just insane. This guy develops his own court morals, a court system. Like, give me a break, man. I'm sick of this guy. Get him out of here. Fire him. I'm out, guys. Later.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, that probably would have been. He goes, listen, I'm taking myself out of the mix for a year. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to be the face. I'm going to be out of the picture. And yet behind the scenes, he's still pulling the strings. The guy who's, you know, he's got a guy that makes his matches, right? He's got plenty of employees.
He's got two matchmakers. One of them listening in Houston. Yeah. Maynard. Yeah. Mick's an amazing guy. He's the best.
Yeah.
Huge Texans fan. I get texts from him all the time. And he's from Australia.
He's from Australia,
and he's from a Texans fan. But Mick is always asking, what are we going to do with Deshaun Watson? He's like, what do we do with the first pick? Is this Stroud guy any good? Because he's been a season ticket holder. But you do have guys who can make matches. But Dana, I mean, there's a lot of business decisions. Dana would still be involved in business. He's not going to let business just run itself for a year. But taking yourself out of the limelight as the face of the UFC for a full year, I think that's where you have to start. You have to show, if you say you're so against this, which he has been against that, then you have to give yourself a punishment that might be similar to you give a fighter.
Yep.
What did you say? What am I going to do? You punish him for 30 days?
Well, how can you punish any fighter now? How can you not be hypocritical? How can you punish any fighter? Wait a minute. It's hurting the. If I don't fight, it's hurting the UFC.
Yeah.
So that you, we don't want to hurt the UFC, right? If I don't fight. So, I mean, yeah, and he could have still been pulling all the strings behind the scenes. No one would know. All right, 713-780.
That's going to happen regardless. Yeah. You just have to assume that's happening.
713-780-3776, the number, if you want to get in here, or you can tweet us at John Granato, at Lance Erline, at R has no J, right? Has no J. Hemp in a pouch, made of hemp. What I don't think we make enough of is the CBD. That's in these Dew Blend and Canstead dip cans. So if you like that flavor, you like the sensation between your cheek and gum, you like the tobacco, you like the nicotine, you're probably addicted to that. That's what smokers get addicted to. You might have some addiction there. It's not healthy. As a matter of fact, it's very unhealthy for you. It's gross. She hates it. She hates you spitting all over the place. And here's the deal, is you don't, as a matter of fact, you probably shouldn't spit it out when you have Dew Blend or Canstead, because you've got CBD oil in there. And that CBD oil is actually helping your body, as opposed to the tobacco and the nicotine, which is hurting your body. Plus, there's the effects, the cancerous effects, and all of that stuff. But this is hemp in a pouch made of hemp. And I'm telling you, it takes the place of that dip that's dangerous. This is not. This is actually really, really cool. And if you want to try it, it's very easy. Just go to 975dip.com. That's 975dip.com.
ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Who you got tonight, Cowboys or Bucks?
Cowboys.
I got the Bucks.
I just can't. I just haven't. You haven't showed it to me all year long, Bucks. And I know the Cowboys are up and down, but at least the Cowboys have some ups. You just have a bunch of downs.
Yeah.
And you did it in a bad division. You had a bad record in a bad division.
ESPN was just showing. Remember, we were in Lake Charles when the Cowboys were playing the Bucks in the first game. Remember?
And Cowboys good record in a division full of playoff contenders and playoff makers. Bucks bad record in a division full of losers.
Losers, right.
That's how I'm handicapped.
How about the NFC East went from the worst division in football just 2 years ago, mm-hmm. where they were just like the Bucks making the last year. Mm-hmm. It was 2 years ago when Washington made it, and they were terrible, and they hosted Tom Brady, and Brady went on to win the Super Bowl.
Last year wasn't great. No, I think last Dallas won the division because they tried everything they could not to, but Philadelphia was even worse. That was last year, right?
It was the worst. It was the worst.
Yeah.
And now it's the best.
So after
the Giants win?
So you get Brian Daboll. He puts Daniel Jones in a position to win by, frankly, telling him to run more. You get Saquon back and healthy. They get some good free. By the way, there's some good free agents. I mean, Slayton is a good wide receiver. Isaiah Hodgins, who I like coming out of Oregon State, that dude's turned into a good player. He's got great ball skills. He wasn't the fastest guy. Catches everything. Their defense has played pretty well. But I think early on, they set a tone that this is how we're going to play. We're going to play to win. And Daboll will chew your ass now.
No.
Daboll gets on people, but he is. Did you see the way he treated Slayton? That was great. I mean, Slayton dropped what would have been a first down, a crossing route where he could have been running forever. He dropped the pass on third down. They had to punt to give Kirk Cousins a chance to beat them. And the kid was just dejected. And everyone was, you know, and Daboll went over and talked to him a little bit and tried to keep his spirits up. Because even if they went down and scored, they went for two,
right.
It would have. By the way, I think the Ravens would have gone for two if they had somehow
pulled
the score.
I know they would have gone for two.
They had to have.
They had to.
You make it one. I mean, number one, that's how Harbaugh operates.
Yep.
But number two, I just wouldn't have.
No, I was watching with JT. I said, they're going for two.
Yeah, they for sure would have gone for two. I would. Okay, so this is a separate argument, but or conversation, but you know how analytics derives its value from these are the percentages of success and failure. But I would argue, well, those percentages, though, are fluid because once actual events have transpired, more events have transpired, you've got to change. As the percentages change, you've got to change your baseline with it. In other words, if you are unsuccessful, if the analytics decision that is made on the field is unsuccessful six times in a row, then your percentages for success, relatively speaking, relative to the history, has gone down.
Yeah.
Our analytics directors operating that way? Are they changing the way they look at things based on the success and failure of decisions that have been made due to quote-unquote analytics? Because I can tell you the Ravens fail on an unusually large amount of times when they make a quote-unquote analytical decision.
So we had this conversation last night, as a matter of fact. I was with Dana and Dor.
White?
No, not Dana White. Good Dana, the one that doesn't slap women. So we were talking about the going for it, getting the ball first in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing about analytics and football. It's not in a vacuum.
Right.
It's every – first of all, Okay, so 56% of the time, the team that goes first wins the game in overtime. Well, that's odd. 56-44. That it's a bit odd. You would think that the second team, but they found over the years that they're 56%. However, what kind of did you look at what kind of defenses the teams that had? Because if you go for it, if you're going to go first and you kick a field goal, do you have a defense that can't stop anybody? Now, if you've got a great defense, I can see that. I'm going to stop. I know I'm going to stop them. I know that they're going to kick a field goal. But if I've got a porous defense, I don't want to go first, kick a field goal, and then lose the game because that happened twice to U of H.
Well, so there's no texture or color to analytics decisions or some analytics decisions. Now, some, they don't need them. In baseball, it's not really necessary. In many of the basketball, it's just data derived from actual performance. In football, you cannot make them in a vacuum. And I spoke with an analytics director in college about this, who is one of the ones who says he can't stand Twitter analytics director, they believe. He said they are not, these guys are, they don't know the decision-making process that we have, where we have to, he said, in their mind, it's just math. But what we have to look at is, what is the physical matchups that we
have that
determine the play?
What is the momentum of the offense versus the momentum of the defense?
Yeah. And he made, and these are people who get fired. When you can't get fired, you just say, follow the math, and it doesn't matter. But as you mentioned, John, what is the context of who is going first? Like, in a giant sample size, yes, it all evens out. But there's decision-making going on fourth downs in the NFL where it is not working out and it is having an adverse effect. I think one of my concerns is, what is the – you're looking at plus-minus result of did the decision fail or succeed? I want to know, what did the failure – become? Did your failure of decision, what was the net result of that decision that failed? Because there's also consequences for failed decisions.
And what was the reason that it failed?
Right. Yeah. You have to know what is the reason.
Do you have a team that, when you go for two, do you have a good offensive line that is going to be able to open up holes on a running guy? Or do you have a quarterback who is mobile and can keep a play alive and wait until somebody breaks open like Joe Burrow did last night?
And a lot of the analytics in baseball and basketball are derived by single individual performance, where football is a derivative of the performance. The net result is a derivative of multiple players in a single given play performing at a certain level. An offensive line, you could have four guys block great, one guy miss it, and it's a failed play. And yet you had four successful blocks on it. So how do you put context to that? How do you put context to the fact that your play calling and your matchup in one game, in one decision you make, might be an easy one for you, but in another one, there's no confidence in it. Your quarterback is not operating at a confident level. You have a bad matchup issue at right tackle because there's an injury.
But yet you were critical of Lovie the first game of the season when he knew he wasn't going to get that first down.
But you don't know that.
He did know that, though.
No, that you
what,
don't
what kind
know
of confidence
that.
Did you have in that quarterback at that time?
But that
and you
is,
had none.
But here's the decision. This is not an analytic decision. This is a culture decision. That has nothing to do with
analytics. No, it was an analytic decision because on fourth and three, well, with that quarterback at that time of the game, when he had been as bad as he was in the second half of that game.
The analytics decision would tell you to go for it.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you that for me, it has nothing to do with analytics. Lovie Smith on the first game of the year, coming off of being one of the worst teams in football, you show your team that we have faith in you and we are going to take this opportunity to win a game. And if it doesn't work out, it's a loss. And obviously, in the grand scheme of things, you would have been better off going for it, because you see, as the season progresses, it meant nothing for you having that tie. There was no value to a tie. The value for a loss and a tie would have been the exact same. The value of a win would have been much greater. Now, that sounds the same as an analytics decision, because everything is based on the most aggressive play. I've never heard of an analytics decision being conservative. Never. And that's fine.
Well, wait a minute.
And I
if
do follow the math.
No, that's incorrect.
What can you think of?
The analytics decision should be, this is not going to be successful. We're not going
to
do it.
But it's never that. It's always to go for it, to try to score a touchdown, to try to get 2 points, to try to
analytics decision can be in a 1-point game, an analytics decision is kick the extra point. That's an analytics decision. It's conservative.
No,
you kick the extra point.
No, but analytics say go for two.
No,
because here's why. You're
not in the first quarter of a game.
Oh, they do it all the time. People will do it. I mean, typically you don't. Yeah, it's not an analytics decision. But there's a lot of times where you're down 14. If you're down 14, they go for two. Why? Because they want to try to turn it into an 11-point game. You know, they try to alter.
A 6-point game.
And I'm like, wait, what?
It's incorrect to do that, though. It's incorrect to do
that. Analytics say it's correct.
Analytics is stupid on that
point. Okay, I'm just waiting for you to say that.
Analytics is stupid.
But they're saying you got to. Greater than 50%.
I've seen coaches doing this now way too often, and I'm wondering, why are you hurting your football team?
Well, this is my question. If it succeeds, that's great. But if it fails, are we taking the success rate into account in as we move forward with our decision-making?
That's what should be part of the analytics decision.
It's supposed to be, right? It's got to be fluid based on the results.
Yeah.
Okay? Oh, no, it's failing at a much higher rate. So are we changing our decision-making? People who are really heavy into the numbers don't believe that you change the decisions, yet the decisions are made based on a success percentage of results.
Yeah.
So if that number begins to change because defenses are becoming better at I would also tell you that each team is going to have a different success rate based on that particular decision.
It depends on your personnel and everything else.
Exactly.
It's not a vacuum. It's not a vacuum. That was something we were talking about a little bit about.
But you'll go crazy arguing with somebody who is closed-minded. And it's funny because I'm actually open-minded about this. The analytics crowd has become so closed-minded, they're not even willing to have a conversation. To them, like a Daryl Morey type, it is the math and you don't look at anything human. It is just math. I'm like, that is such... It is so ironic that you are the most closed-minded of all
guess what?
Or the numbers.
Guess what? Your numbers, Daryl Morey, produced 0-27 and 0 championships here. 0-27.
I don't know if the numbers produced that bad shooting did.
Well, no, your philosophy on shooting.
Well, there's always outliers, and you got to be fluid enough to make changes based on the flow
of the game.
Should
have gone for two a few more times. That's what they should have done.
Yeah, he got for two instead of going for three.
Yeah, and we should. Oh my gosh, I watched the marathon, and I was thinking of Nicole. She didn't run yesterday, huh?
She ran Saturday. She ran Saturday on that knee from QC Kinetics, and she is still trying to get to a point where she can run. But this is something that she's doing much more. You know, QC Kinetics, they can't promise you miracles. Like, there's a lot of people who are going to eventually have to have knee replacement or hip replacement surgeries. But did you know there are a lot of you out there that still have cartilage in your knee or hip, and that's something that they can build upon? They can build upon your damaged tissue that may be causing you a ton of pain in your hip, shoulder, knee, back, wherever, ankle. But did you know that they can work with you to diminish the pain that you're experiencing? Because all natural biological therapies, they can regenerate and restore damaged tissue. And your damaged tissue is what's causing the pain, the chronic pain. Well, what happens when it starts to restore that tissue or even regenerate tissue? Well, you see your pain level go way down, and that's something that is an absolutely huge opportunity for you to live a better life without surgery, without drugs, the downtime, the shots that are just basically they're just Band-Aids for what's going on. Let's look for a more complete solution and one that is long-lasting with all-natural biological therapies from QC Kinetics. They're more successful, and they truly can get you back to living that active life. Make sure that you go to the website and dig around if you like, qckinetics.com, or when you're ready, call 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:52 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. This is Gilbert's second tour of duty, wanting to get in here and talk on the radio. Hey, Gilbert, what's going on?
Well, I'm... I'm sick last night. I got diarrhea last night.
You got diarrhea last night. Okay.
Yeah, super Chinese food last night.
You were, oh, because of Chinese food? Where did you get your Chinese food from?
I-10 and Blaylock.
I-10 and Blaylock? That's what that Chinese that, food gives you diarrhea?
Yeah, the food was terrible anyway.
It was terrible?
Wow.
Since you're Chinese, you know what makes good Chinese and what makes bad. Why was it bad?
I don't like that restaurant there.
What?
That restaurant is not no good over there.
It's no good?
One on Bel Air is good anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Which one in Bel Air? There's a ton of them in Bel Air.
Yeah.
Which one?
Golden Palace.
Golden Palace?
Do you like that one?
No, wait a minute. Golden Palace, yeah.
Okay.
Golden
Palace. Are you sure? You seem pretty...
Yeah. Well, that one's good. Golden Palace is good or bad?
What's that name? That place over there, Golden Palace and... that's about it anyway. The one of I-10 and, 59 and Gessner there. That's a good drive.
What's the name of the place that gave you diarrhea?
Golden Palace is a...
I-10 again. I-10 and...
Blaylock, he told
me. And Blaylock, I don't know the name of it, though.
Don't worry about it.
Oh.
In the supermarket there, anyway.
Wait, at Ranch 99?
Yep.
You went inside Ranch 99 and went to one. Oh, I love those places in there. Are you sure you're not maybe just have a stomach bug? Are you sure?
I don't like the food there anyway.
You don't?
No.
I kind of like the food there, Gilbert. You know, at Ranch 99, they have actual ducks.
I'm going to give them my stomach anyway.
Well, what about, have you ever had the duck, when they got the duck hanging by the neck in there, and it's all...
Yeah, I'll take duck over there. I like duck over there with Apple Bel Air and older anyway.
Golden Palace is my
probably
guess.
Golden Palace.
I'm looking at Golden Palace dim sum. It's at 10600 Bel Air Boulevard. That's right. Gilbert's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. But Gilbert, I don't know. I think a lot of those restaurants in Ranch 99 are pretty good. It's one of my favorite supermarkets to go into. I've never gotten sick there. You got sick there?
I got diarrhea.
Yeah. I'm picking Buffalo Bill to go world champion.
Yeah, I still think Buffalo's got a great chance. Something just feels like it might be their year, Gilbert. We'll see.
I don't know.
And I predict that J.J. Watt's going to be the next coach for the Texans.
Yep, there it is.
Yep. J.J. Watt?
J.J. Watt.
Have they?
Did you ever meet J.J.?
Never.
Never. You want to?
No, don't.
Can you
rank it? I can't. I thought Lance works for the NFL.
I don't know J.J. Watt at all. John, can you arrange it? Gilbert just asked.
I can't. I don't know J.J. Watt either.
You just said, would you like to?
I didn't know but somebody probably could help. You work for the NFL.
Holy. Gilbert.
You were the NFL Network, remember?
We don't have any ties with J.J. He retired. He's going to go work for Channel 13 now, so I don't know what.
He's not working for
Channel. You should check and
Channel
see.
Channel 13, that would be nice.
Yeah,
it would be nice, but I think he's going to be the coach. He can't work for Channel 13.
Well, preseason games are on Channel 13.
Hey, Lance, what happened to Kay Adams? She don't work there no more, NFL.
She works for, NFL no more. I think, DraftKings. She's got her own show on her FanDuel or DraftKings.
Never to be seen from again.
Yeah,
you hear Kay Adams on Good Morning Football?
I saw her. I can't get a picture, but I just need to tell you that in advance. I can't get a picture. But I do know who you're talking about, and yeah, she started working for... Gilbert, you have NFL Network?
Yeah.
You still does?
Do you have NFL Network?
You have NFL Network? You have cable?
Yes, I do. I get NFL Network.
Okay, yeah, she's on Good Morning Football. She seems like she might be your type, but she's a cute one. Oh. And I think she's draft. I think she's DraftKings or FanDuel TV or something now. So she took the money and left.
So we need a bowel movement
update.
Said,
yeah. Anyway,
we need a bowel movement update. Apparently, on a daily update, according to
Golden Palace. I guess there's a lot of Golden Palaces.
Is there?
Yeah. Some of them. Some of them don't have such
there's
great.
One. I think there's a Golden Palace not far from Minute Maid.
Ooh, Yelp. Yeah. It's not. There's one that's not. Is it a buffet?
So you go over there and eat at the Ranch 99?
Yeah, Ranch 99's got like five different little small little restaurants in there.
Yeah, I got a picture. I got pictures.
Good,
of it
and
right
also,
here.
What's the Hong Kong market? I can't remember the other one.
Golden Palace?
No, it's not. Golden Palace?
Are you sure?
Are we sure this isn't just a buffet? No, I guess it's not.
Gilbert got diarrhea from it, though. So
not from Golden Palace. He loves Golden Palace.
No, not Golden Palace.
He said he did from one of the food stalls at Ranch 99. Ranch 99. I'm not sure I'm buying that.
What do you mean?
I'm not sure. Just because you get diarrhea doesn't mean it's food. It means you have a bug. There's a lot of them going around. He didn't get food poisoning.
What about if it was the food and Gilbert, I mean, honestly, Gilbert could, I mean, you're going to call Gilbert a liar? Is that what you're doing? Gilbert knows his body.
Ranch 99.
Yeah, I know my
is,
body anyway.
Oh, he's still there.
Oh, yeah.
Gilbert, Ranch 99 is good. It's a great supermarket. Lots of stuff to choose from. I'm just really surprised that you're down on Ranch 99.
I like the other restaurant better. Anyway.
Yeah, Golden Palace anyway.
Golden Palace.
I'm a Golden Palace fan.
I like Mala Sichuan in Bel Air.
I don't know.
And Don's. Gilbert, you like banh mi? Don's has got great banh mi, but they don't mess around. It's only cash. Don't try to come in. Where other places are only going credit card and cash free,
cash?
Don's is like, come up with that cash.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, you got to have cash.
Yeah. You could end up like Trump, never paying a tax.
If you're a business and you're getting nothing but cash,
that's it.
You're loving like, oh, another bad year.
That's it. Gilbert, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for your update on your diarrhea. We appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, then. Anyway, 859 ESPN 97. Gilbert had a bad stomach last night.
But he blamed it on just.
I don't know. Wow. You know. That's Gilbert throwing around. I mean, if I'm the Ranch 99, I'm like, hey.
Well, they're individual restaurants inside the Ranch 99, like small ones, but they got really good crawfish in there. Oh, yeah, they have, it's good, man. Those spots are good. I don't know what Gilbert's talking about. I don't know what he's talking about.
I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Doc Linville. I'm talking about the hair. I'm talking about if you're watching on Twitch right now, you're like, John, the hair looks good today. Yeah, I'm having a good hair day. I don't know. It's just what happens. Listen, all I know is that if you want hair, Doc Linville is here for you. I mean, JT and I were both talking. We were talking about Tiger Woods. Tiger's got mange, man. You gotta tighten that up, Tiger. Either shave it off or go see Doc Linville, because it's bad. When you take that hat off, you don't look like the man. Okay, so listen, there was no superheroes like Jackie. He's like completely bald. He's a villain, okay? Do you want to be a villain? You want to be a superhero? You want to be a superhero. Superheroes all have great hair. Doc Linville gives you great hair. It's what he does over and over, all day, every day. He's turned into one of the biggest hair movement guys in the city. And I don't say hair replacement because he's just moving the hair from the side and the back to the top of the head. He's a hair mover. So if you're looking for that kind of movement where it's on the side of your head, it's on the back of your head, but it's not on the top, all you need to do is see my man, Doc Linville, no matter how bald you are. Now, he can also inspire hair because he does some PRP? Yeah, where he takes your blood and he gets that generation, he gets it moving. That's what's happening as well. So if you're looking for hair, there's one guy to see. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Apartment people, my name is Dave, and I bring you good news. From Champion, River Park of Dublin, it's a brand new community now open and leasing. I've been to it. It's kitchen clean. And they've got a new enticement. You get 2 months free when you sign a 12-month or longer lease, and you move in by the beginning of October. Everything's new. New pool, new fitness center, free Starbucks coffee, EV charging stations, parking, garage, River Park of Dublin. Now make the move, literally. LiveWithChampion.com. Schedule a tour. LiveWithChampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.